Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Jai Radha Krishna, Lalita Vishaka. Radha Krishna, Lalita Vishaka. Lalita Vishaka Jayo. Jayo Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada Jayo Prabhupada.
Bhaktivedanta Sanskrita Prabhupada Gija, Namachar Hari Das Thakur Gija, Premsaka Hol Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaitika Dada Shvasi Gaur Bhaktivinda Gija, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopada Shavakunda Radhakuda Giri Govardhan Gija, Sri Vrindavan Dham Gija, Navadip Dham Gija, Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhaktivinda Gija, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Gija, Samaveta Bhaktivinda Gija, Gopremanandi, All glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna. Ganga Jamuna Tulasi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Ananakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Bodhis all glorious, the seven of the bodies all glorious, the seven of the bodies all glorious, the Sri Guru and Sri Guru and all glorious, the Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste, Sarasvata Devi, Gauravani Pacharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatadesha Tarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Vagita Brur Adar Arpita Venum, Komo Angulibi Asrita Margam, Gopya irayati yatra mukundaha. Sri Gopya Uchu, the gopis said, Vama, left, Bahu, on his arm, Kurta, putting, Vama, left, Kapolo, cheek, Vagita, moving, Bru, his eyebrows, Adhara, upon his lips, Arpita, placed, Venum, his flute, Komala, Angulibi, with his fingers, Asritamagam, its hole stopped. Gopya, O gopis, Irayati, vibrates, Yatra, where, Mukunda, Lord Krishna. Translation, the gopi said, when Mukunda vibrates the flute he has placed to his lips, stopping its holes with his tender fingers, he rests his left cheek on his left arm and makes his eyebrows dance. At that time, the demigoddesses traveling in the sky with their husbands, the siddhas, become amazed. As those ladies listen, they're embarrassed to find their minds yielding to the pursuit of lusty desires, and in their distress, they're unaware that the belts of their garments are loosening. Report Shrivajiva Goswami states that this chapter consists of a collection of statements that the gopis made at various times as they stood in small groups here and there in Vrindavan. Oh, that's all there is. So here we have a whole chapter dedicated to praises that the gopis give to Krishna. So this is a type of kirtan. So we often hear that the different actions of bhakti, the angas of bhakti, are eternal. They're not just sadhana that we do in the material world. For instance,
We have hearing, chanting, remembering, deity worship, etc. So these are things we do as sadhana. Now, normal sadhanas are given up once you attain the goal. So you study in college, that's a sadhana. You get your degree and you graduate. Then you don't study anymore. Finished. Huh? Your goal is achieved. The sadhana of study was to get the degree. Once you get the degree, you stop the study. So similarly, you do jnana yoga. And when you attain mukti, you stop the jnana yoga. You give it up. So this is generally the process. You do the sadhana, and when you get the sadhya, the goal, you give up the sadhana. But a bhakti is a little different. We have a sadhana, hearing, chanting, remembering, and when we get the sadhya, prema, we do not stop the hearing, chanting, remembering. Same activities go on in the spiritual world. So this shows how the angas of bhakti, even as sadhana, are actually spiritual, and they're eternal. Whereas the sadhanas of jnana and karma and yoga are material because they're given up once the goal is achieved. So they're temporary, in other words. So, in other words, the activities of bhakti are sadhana and sadhya. They are the means and they are also the end. We do hearing and chanting now, and they're also the part of the very goal, prema. So here is an example of kirtan. The gopis are praising Krishna and with various verses. And this is taking place among the gopis who are in prema, some of whom are nitya siddhas, some who are sadhana siddhas. So they're doing kirtan, glorifying Krishna in the spiritual world or in Vrindavan in the material world. Now, people who are not perfect, they can also do kirtan, but we see here the perfect people, those who have attained prema, are also participating in kirtan. So here the kirtan consists of whole descriptions of Krishna's and his qualities. So it is guna kirtan, more or less, guna and lila kirtan, describing Krishna's qualities and action and form, etc. Whereas we generally we do nam sankirtan, we do kirtan of Krishna's names only. This is also kirtan. So because it is a little more complex, it requires knowledge of grammar, etc., to make the verses properly, etc. And of course, they're also sung. It requires a little more technique and knowledge and skill. Whereas Nam Kirtan is very easy, which is the names of the Lord. So that's more popular. Nevertheless, this is also kirtan. So the gopis are speaking here about Krishna. So naturally, we'll assume that most of these verses will describe Krishna in relation to the gopis, and it will be imbued with Madhurya Rasa, their particular type of sentiment. Of course, some are more general descriptions that others can appreciate also. But in general, it's from the mood of the gopis who have Madhurya Prema. So we see that their prema is directed towards Krishna. The gopis are the experiencers or the asraya, and Krishna is the object or vishaya, object of their love. Now, this is the vibhava, the prerequisites for rasa. And they are doing kirtan. This is their anubhava, their activity. When one attains prema, then we don't call these sadhana anymore because they've attained the sadhana, the perfection of prema. But the activities that we do in sadhana, such as kirtan, are not given up. But they're called anubhavas. They're expressions of the gopis' bliss in prema. So we call these actions anubhavas. So this is one type of anubhava, singing. So here they're glorifying the Lord by these various verses. And this expresses their devotion to Krishna. And at the same time, of course, it shows how their appreciation of Krishna's wonderful qualities by explaining his various features. So these first the generally we see in this chapter, the verses go in pairs, two verses, two verses, two verses each. These two verses describe Krishna as he plays his flute, and he's resting his left cheek on his left arm or shoulder, and he's moving his eyebrows slightly. And he has his lips on the flute, and he's stopping the holes of the flute with his fingers to make the tune. And this way, we have a general description of Krishna playing his flute. So that in itself, of course, is an appreciation of Krishna's beauty in his form as he plays his flute. But the next verse describes the effect that has on the heavenly women who are flying in their air vehicles, yana, their vyomayana, their vehicles flying in the air. And they become very astonished on hearing that flute and seeing that beautiful form. Not only do they become astonished, but their minds become filled with desire for Krishna. Kama margana samarpita chitta, says their hearts become completely offered on the path of kama. So this is not regular kama in the material world, it is prema. The belts on their dresses become loosened because of this. They forget who they are, and they're because of their ecstasy. So in other words, even though they're accompanied by their husbands, the siddhas, the sound of the flute is such that it awakens that prema within them. So one of the four special qualities of Krishna that distinguish him from the Vishnu form is Madhurya Venu, his sweet flute. So normally we may not think that that the flute is so significant, because mainly it's his form which is most attractive, or his pastimes. But we see in the Bhagavatam and other works as well, there is a great attention paid to the description of the flute and the sound of the flute of Krishna and what it does. So particularly the effect of that flute upon others is described here in these verses. So this particular verse shows how the wives of the devatas become affected by the sound of that flute. So even without seeing him closely, that sound itself invokes prema. Now, normal sound is just music, we have notes coming out of a flute. But this is very, very special music. It's come from Krishna himself, and it's spiritual in essence. But it is also filled with the sweetness of Krishna. And we can say the sound of the flute is non-different from Krishna's prema. So therefore, anyone who hears the sound immediately gets that prema. This is the remarkable thing about his flute. So not just prema, but madhurya prema, very sweet prema. In this case, of course, it is a madhurya rasa prema. It's the wives of the devatas, and they hear the flute, and then they become filled with that kama. Madhurya rasa. Others may hear the flute like the cows or the trees or the Jamuna River or whatever. They also get ecstatic symptoms. They also get some type of prema. But it's different. It's not Madhurya Rasa particularly. The cowherd boys will also hear the flute, or the elders will hear the flute when Krishna comes home from the fields. There's descriptions of how he comes home in the evening. And everybody's waiting. Some of the gopis have climbed up on top of the roofs and the balconies on the roofs, and they're waiting. And some are crowded on the pathway waiting for Krishna. And all the elders are there waiting for Krishna on the path as well. Because they know it's time. It's getting 4 o'clock, and after 4 o'clock. And they're waiting and waiting and waiting. And then they see the dust from the hooves of the calves and the cows as in the horizon. And then they hear the sound of the flute. So immediately they become very, very excited by that. And as Krishna gets closer, they can hear that flute sound very distinctly. And then they begin to see the forms of the cows, the calves, and Krishna, and the cowherd boys. So everybody gets joy from the sound of that flute, and it stimulates their particular rasa with Krishna. So here the gopis are describing how the devata women become affected, and their belts become loosened, etc., and they develop some ecstatic symptoms, even in the presence of their husbands, because of the sound of the flute. So this is a Madhurya rasa type of attraction of the women in the heavenly planets. So this is a human form. Humans who are devata forms, I could say, who become attracted. But the flute is such that it attracts everyone. It will attract the devatas in the heavenly planets. It will attract the sages in the heavenly planets. It will attract the human beings on earth. It will attract the animals and the birds. All types of living entities get attracted by the flute. Not only even the plants get affected. So the trees get affected, and the creepers get affected, and the grass gets affected. And not only that, then we get the river getting affected, and the Jamuna gets affected, and the rocks get affected, and the clouds get affected. So everything gets affected. The mountains get affected. Govardhan gets affected. Everything gets affected by the sound of the flute. And it's all that sweetness of the flute. They develop some sort of ecstatic symptoms of prema. Of course, there's also a projection on the part of the gopis, because Rupa Goswami says, actually, animals, plants, and inanimate objects, how can they have prema? Because prema is generally expressed by human beings. There is a loving relationship between two human beings, more or less equals, and they speak to each other, talk, etc., exchange things. So to have a relationship between a rock and a human being may be a little strange, or a plant and a human being. Animals may be a little more responsive, but still, you can't really speak and joke with the cows or the dogs or whatever like that. And you can't really have a regular type of conversation. It's more like you're treating children. You have a relationship with children or something like that. So we can't develop a full relationship with other species or with plants or inanimate objects. Nevertheless, everything in the spiritual world is spiritual, so it's chit, it's conscious, and it's living, it's not dead, so it's quite different from our things. But still, they play roles, so they're less developed in the extent in which they express themselves in these different forms. So when we come to the human forms, devata forms, etc., then they can express themselves equally. So they can express themselves like everyone else and speak and whatever. Have gestures and whatever, express their feelings very fully. So that is where rasa really develops. But the gopis, because of their great prema, they project similar prema upon everything else. Of course, there is an effect of the flute on everything, and that's because for that reason it's celebrated as being very, very special. But they project their same type of sentiments of Madhurya Rasa upon everything they see, that everyone's on the same level. Not true. They're not on the same level. The gopis are on the highest level. But then we get the Vatsalya Rasa and Sakya Rasa and Dasya Rasa, Shanta Rasa, and then like that. So not everybody's on the same level. But the gopis, out of their great enthusiasm in their bhava, they see everything as developing a similar type of mood as themselves and having real advanced ecstatic symptoms, etc. So that is a projection of their rasa upon other things. Which is natural, because we see that the Uttamadhikari, who's described in the 11th canto, the person in later upper bhava and prema, they see every living entity on earth, who are actually gross materialists and so many people, as having prema. Everything has prema for Krishna. So they also see the leaves and the water as having prema for the Lord. And similarly, they see the asuras as having prema for Krishna, etc. So they see everything as having prema for the Lord. That's the Uttamadhikaris. Obviously, it's not true from one point of view, but from their point of view, yes, everything is there because of their strong prema. They see everything in terms of that. So, and then an example is given of the gopis when they see everything in the, you know, they see the water and the trees and the creepers having prema. So that's a projection of their prema upon everything else. They see everything is having prema. So, of course, in the spiritual world and in Vrindavan, among the inhabitants there, yes, everything is conscious, but still, there is differentiation of the different levels of consciousness. So the full rasas are developed. Even shanta rasas really develop with human forms. So we have shanta rasa developing with the sages. And so it's described how in Mathura, when Krishna came to the arena of Kamsa, everyone was gathered in the arena. So the yadus were there, and they experienced dasya rasa when they saw Krishna. And Vasudeva and Devaki experienced Vatsalya Rasa, and the young women experienced Madhurya Rasa, and Krishna with the cowherd boys that came with Krishna from Vrindavan, they were experiencing Sakya Rasa. And there were some yogis who saw Krishna as supreme Brahman. So those, they experienced Shanta Rasa, and they developed some ecstatic symptoms also, real ecstatic symptoms. So therefore the human beings have this Shanta Rasa. Others may not even develop to that level. So they have shanta rati. The rati has not developed to prema and full rasa yet. So it says that small children, they don't have, as we see in the material world, their feelings are not so distinct at that stage. There are also small children in the spiritual world. So their rasa has not really distinguished into anything, so it's called shanta rati, not even up to the level of rasa. It's rati because they can't really speak properly or anything, so it is a type of rati which hasn't developed, or bhava, which has not developed to prema yet. So when the person matures and he has this shanta feelings, shanta rati, then it's expressed in various ways with the Lord, and it's called shanta rati. So this is usually persons who have experienced and practiced jnana or yoga, austerities, etc. And sadhana. They're a little influenced by that if they become devotees. So they do full devotion, but they have still a trace of that type of feeling in them. So therefore they develop into shantarasa. They develop shantarasa eventually. And in the spiritual world, they will have shantarasa. They could be just, of course, in Vaikuntha, they could be even forearm forms with shantarasa. And when they see the Lord, they feel very peaceful and like that. And they don't serve the Lord much. Others will have forearms and they serve the Lord very enthusiastically. So they're in dasya rasa, because they weren't influenced by this jnana and tapasya, etc. So generally the rasa, the shanta rasa itself is experienced, the genuine shanta rasa, as they are with some certain persons with human forms in the spiritual world. And those that have less of shanta rati. So here we find that the gopis, of course, are on the highest level. Consequently, they see everything in terms of Madhurya Rasa, actually. And they attribute a high level of devotion of everything. This is also a quality of the highest rasas. So it said the higher the rasa, the more unqualified the person feels. So therefore, the gopis feel ultimately unqualified. So they think everybody else is better than us. The flute is better than us. And they'll find some quality in everything to say that they're better than us. Cowherd boys are better than us. Why? Because they can always associate with Krishna very freely. We cannot do so. So they find some good quality in everything to say they're better than us, and they put themselves in the lowest position. In this way, the gopis are very expert at glorifying because they see themselves as small entities, not very deserving, and they see everything else as very worthy of getting Krishna's mercy and showing prema, etc., and having some relationship with Krishna. So they praise everything in relation to Krishna as having a very, very exalted relationship, in spite of the fact that actually they are the most exalted persons. So in any case, these verses show at once the humility of the gopis and also the mood of Madhurya Rasa of the gopis and how they project it everywhere. Also the effect of Krishna, his form, his beauty, his smile, and of course his flute and how it affects everyone. So from this we can get some understanding of the significance of Krishna's flute here.
The demigods, wives of demigods, when they hear the sound of the flute, did they come to the platform of pure devotion or that high level, or they were just experiencing that? Because we know demigods are not in that level.
Well, we know that demigods are also devotees of the Lord, so they're not just ordinary living entities and whatever. So the wives of the devatas also must be on that level because they're associating with the devatas intimately. So they're also great devotees already. And therefore, to meet Krishna or see Krishna or even hear his flute, one has to be highly qualified. Normal material people, they don't hear the flute. They don't get to meet Krishna. So someone who gets the privilege of entering into Krishna's pastimes, even as a devata, must be in a highly qualified position, very, very special. So therefore, the jivas who got roles here as devatas and wives of the devatas during Krishna's pastimes must be very, very special persons because they get to meet Krishna, see Krishna, etc. So it's described when Krishna comes home from the fields, then the devatas are there and they're on the side of the road and they're offering respects and glorifying him, etc. So they get a chance to see him at that time and they understand the rarity of getting that, seeing him. It's a very, very rare occasion. So very, very special devotees also.
That when Krishna plays his flute, does it only some particular person hear this flute or everyone hear this flute?
Well, I think it's all a will of Krishna. But of course, it is said when Krishna plays his flute, the whole universe gets ecstatic. So it has the power, if Krishna wants it to, it can penetrate everybody, influence all the materialists and everybody in the universe, and they can all develop some sort of ecstatic symptoms or whatever. But generally we see that obviously the demons, even if they see Krishna, they don't really see him or whatever. So and therefore, we can say there's some restriction that those who are not devotees, like Shishupal or something, they don't really appreciate anything about Krishna, his form or flute or whatever. But by exposure, gradually, they also get affected.
We see that before Rasalila happened, when Krishna was playing his flute, only some particular gopi was
Gopis heard the flute, other people could not hear. So that was for Krishna's particular purposes. The gopis could hear that and the others could not hear. Yeah? It was happened only not only on the Rasalila night, but every night after that. Yeah? No one else knew. No one else was aware at all that the gopis somehow disappeared from their houses and were in the forest with Krishna. So he made some arrangement that they heard the flute, they knew what, that Krishna was calling them, they went out, nobody could see them, they came back before morning, etc. So all arrangement of Krishna, and kept secret from everyone else.
You are explaining about this, Kirtana is called as like an anubhava for them. We can say the anubhava means that the effect of the result, correct? So, but the Kirtana also can be vibhava also here. Kirtana also can be vibhava, means who is cause for their ecstatic symptom for the gopis.
Well, vibhava in this sense means the primary ingredients of rasa, which are the participants in the rasa, the persons involved, not their activities. Obviously, anubhavas can act as a cause because they do kirtan or they do certain services and then Krishna is pleased and they get prema or whatever. So in that sense, it becomes a cause also. But we don't call that a vibhava in the normal sense.
Because they all already gopis already perfect ecstasy. I'm saying that normally in the material world, those who are not perfect ecstasy because
for them. So they hear kirtan as a sadhana. There it is no longer a sadhana. They already have prema, so it's an expression of their prema, and it creates more prema. So there's mutual relationship between prema as a cause and prema as an effect. Yeah, it's both.